Oh God, my story is so painful. It's so painful what I've been through as a child. It's so painful how I was raped. How a lot happened to me. Oh God, I told you I got so much to say, but.
Physical and drug abuse, rape, jail term, dyslexia, coronavirus, and a host of obstacles are what she had to go through in the journey to achieving her dreams. My name is Stephen Enoch, and welcome to True Story on 411 Podcasts.
I'm here to tell my story, to challenge us that no matter what we're going through in life, we should not give up. I'm one strong person that never give up in life, despite everything that I've been through. My name is Promise Nkechi Okoli. My dream in life is to be a medical doctor, you know. My problem started when my parents separated from each other. My mother became a single mother to look after us, me and my brother, you know, and she was doing all sorts of jobs to take care of us. Some she remarried and it was tough for us.
After her mother left the shores of Nigeria, she remarried, and on realizing that her daughter was used as a means of exploitation and abused, Promise had to leave Nigeria. She was later settled in the UK, where it was discovered that she had dyslexia.
I'm not ashamed to tell you I'm dyslexic. To Nigeria, they call it Olodo Rabata. But in here, they assist you. Do you understand me? It's not a big deal. But I give God the glory. You understand me? That I'm more better than before. When I found out I was dyslexic and I didn't know what to do, I was miserable. My dream was to be a medical doctor.
Dyslexia is a condition which is characterized by the difficulty in learning and a delay in assimilation. Because of that, Promise had to give up on her ambition of becoming a medical doctor. As she advanced in age, she got into a terrible situation with fraudulent individuals who further shattered her dream and led her into depression and panic attacks.
So I've been a victim of fraud. The guy I was seeing back then is a fraudster. I loved him so much to the point that I'm not going to put him in trouble. I was doing everything for him and all that. You know, then I have so many jobs. I'm a very hardworking person. So one day, he gave me a reference number to go to a bank and I should take my passport. And I did. Apparently, he was inside his car watching me, and before I knew it, police came and they arrested me, and I slept in the cell for 2 days. I was in tears. All my friends ran away from me. My mom was there for me. You know, you see how life is. I was in cell for 2 days. And I was warned about my situation that I should not do it again. They found out that I'm a clean person because I'm dyslexic and I'm not capable of doing the fraud. So they gave me warning. And the reason why they gave me warning is because I'm young and naive. And that guy, when they arrested me, he ran away, you know. But it was already in the record.
After being in the black books of the UK police, she still fell into deeper troubles.
To be honest with you, I keep on meeting the wrong people, and it happened again, and that one was even worse. I met somebody else, used my card, everything for fraud. So this time around, about £40,000 meant to go into my account, but it was stopped. And as they were later coming into my mom's address, it was a problem. But I didn't know. And they arrested me. I was in cell for 3 days. And they said because of what happened, because it has happened before, I have to the last time, sorry, I forgot to mention, the first time I did the community service meant to be 175 days, but because I had parole, so I only did 160 days. So the second one, I did not do parole again. They told me that I have to go to prison because of what happened to me, because it has to do with money laundering. And the person in question ran away, and this is something I didn't really know what was going on, but I never knew that I'm going to be the next line, I'm going to be a victim, to the point that it shattered me. I used to be in the van, big van, with handcuff in my hand and handcuff my leg, going to the crown court. Even the gloves I used for my community service, I still have it today to remember what happened to me at the past. And to God be the glory, they released me, but they seized my passport, they seized everything that belongs to me. I have to start life afresh. And things were not still okay, because that I really weigh me down a lot. So for me to move on, I was trying to struggle to move on. I could not get any job, I could not get anything, because in this country, when somebody come out from cell or prison, it's difficult for you to get your life back in track immediately. But to God be the glory, my mom has been there for me. She's been my counselor, she's been everything to me. And thinking that, oh, things are getting better, and to God be the glory, and later I got a job. I said, okay, things are still getting better. Along the line, I promised God that, you know, God, Father Lord, when you save me from this, I promise I'm going to use my situation to honor you. That was the promise I said to God Almighty.
She made a promise which she couldn't fulfill. As she progressed, she later got into a well of problems characterized by drug and physical abuse, which almost rendered her mental.
And I met somebody else who did something worse to my life. It shattered me a lot that I don't even know what to do. My mom was there for me. You know, I was a victim again. This guy used to beat me up and he gives me drugs. He did a lot of things to me. I would go to work, right? Then I would come back. I would prepare food for him and his friends. I got two jobs then, you know. And at the same time, he would go after my friend. And I knew he was rubbing it on my phone, on my nose. And he was like, promise, I got you. You are the main chick. But because I loved him, I was dying inside and crying. This guy beat me up. And to cry the matter was, hello. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so emotional. He was giving me drugs. And he was beating me. He was controlling me. And because of that, I started having panic attack. Okay. There was a day, you know, I remembered when they took me to the hospital, when I was crying, screaming. I don't know what I was screaming about till today, but my mom told me I was screaming. They showed me the video, how I was screaming. My mom was scared, you know. And what they could say that they should take me to mental home, you know. And my mom said her daughter can never go to mental home, you know. And to God with glory, I left the hospital, and my mom was counseling me again and again, and they told my mom I should start taking antidepressant medication. Most of us will know what antidepressant means. It's to calm you down, calm your nerves down, but at the same time, it's also harmful to you, to you as well. So many people are on it. So, and my mom said she would not let me to take, and I started fighting, started fighting. My mom started fighting with me. Even the panic attack I had from years back, I still have the panic attack till now, but it's a bit lesser. I started fighting, and to God be the glory, I became okay in the sense that due to the counseling that my mom has been giving to me, you know, talking to me, and I said to myself, she's nice. My mom is a very she got a heart of gold. She does things to people. She did that. She did that. I want to follow her footstep, and I started, like, you know, emulating my mom the way she is. You know, this is what she does for people. You know, and I said to myself, this is what I want to do. You know.
Even at that, youthful exuberance still had a strong grip on promise. This time, however, she was saved by a hair's breadth.
Due to my young foot age, I really, really wanted to have fun and everything, you know. I always wave it off, wave it off, wave it off. I remember when I thought I had HIV, you know. You understand me? I remembered I just met a friend and he likes me. I just, you know, like him, you know, we are talking. And his neighbor came down to his room and said, I know you. You're a very hardworking person. And I've heard about you. Why do you want to destroy your life? I said, hello, sir. I don't understand. He said, the reason why I said this guy in question have his wife put Magu on him. That's when I know what Magu is, and also he's a HIV victim. He immediately told me like this. I said, thank God. I ran away from that house. I was on the street of London. Okay. I was kneeling down. People were watching me. I was giving thanks to God. I said, what? After what I've been through. After what I've been through. Ever since then, I just said, you know what? I've had enough with me. I've had enough. And I said to myself, I'll make it.
After being saved by a margin, Promise decided to stay focused and not let any mirage-looking attraction weigh her down. But just then, COVID-19 rose its ugly face.
2019. Okay, I had... everybody knows that we all have a crisis of COVID, and it was so much abroad. I had COVID, okay? I was positive, and it was so crazy that my mom came over to look after me for like a week, you know, and she became positive. I was struggling taking care of my children. I was crawling like me. Thank you, God. I was crawling like mini pig, you know, to go to the kitchen to get to get food for my kids. I thought I was going to die because so many people have died because of this. You know, I was short of breath. I could not talk at all. I was thinking about my children. That if anything happened to me now, what will happen to my kids? You know, but I remember this verse. Yes. Sorry, I remember this verse here. It said, by stripe you are healed. And I keep on claiming it to myself because my mom was not able to come. She was positive and I was positive. I was the only one. I said, if I don't do this, who will take care of my children? I have to crawl. I remembered when I was crawling to the kitchen, I fell down and the fire was on. Oh God. Oh God, I don't know what to say. Like, I just need to just say glory, glory, glory. I don't know how I did all those things. I don't know. I was crawling and I came out. I'll feed my kids. My daughter was 2 years old. That's my baby. And my first daughter was 7 years old, you know. So I was crawling. My daughter, the firstborn, when I'm throwing up, she's always cleaning everywhere. And later on, my daughter was tested. No, we all was tested. And later my baby became positive and I was still positive, but my first daughter was negative and the hustle began. My mom could not come. Nobody could see me. Nobody could come to my house. You know, we went through this for like a month or two, because it was so crazy, you know. And when I'm about to talk on the phone, it's like something, I don't know, it's like something like pain. I don't know, my breath just ceased that time. So the best thing I could do is text. And when I text, they tell me what to do. They tell me what to do. And I said to myself, how can I call the ambulance? What will happen to my kids? Because you all know that they are minor. They are not, my kids are not even up to 14 to even look after themselves a little bit. So I was like wondering, what is going to happen to my children? You know, I just struggled. To be honest, I never took medication. I was just drinking warm water, just be drinking warm water. And there are so many people who have died. Even those so people they were taking remedy, they are died in this COVID. 2019 was crazy. The COVID-19 was so serious because it was killing so many people. So a lot happened to me, to be honest with you.
When the pressure of COVID-19 became low and restrictions eased, Promise established an organization called Millennium Women for Impact and Transformation Foundation. She is the executive director, and the organization's objective is to empower people, mostly vulnerable women and children, both in Nigeria and in the diaspora.
I want to use my story to tell people about life. You know, as a young age, as a young girl, this is what I've been through. And I still counseling people from different places, from Canada, from South Africa, from Nigeria. I did not know that I could do it. I could be healed. And it's like, as I'm counseling people, as I'm telling people the truth about life, using myself as a contact, using myself as telling them what I've been through, is people are being healed. You know, when I'm talking about what I've been through, I found myself doing so many things that I'm not able to do. I found myself letting go so many things. I don't know how I'm doing all this. I don't know. I've achieved a lot. That is how I became executive director, you know, and a founder. And ever since this organization was created, wonders have been happening. We have half facility of tailoring. We have equipped so many people. We have motivated so many. We have counseled so many people. Counseled, and people have been able to listen to me. I've counseled marriages as well. I've done so many things, you know, and I just want to give God the glory for everything that He's been doing for me. Never give up in life. Trust me. It might be so hard. It might be so hard. You know, sometimes I dance. I'm always dancing. And people say, why are you dancing? I give them to God. There's no depression. There is nothing apart from the panic attack. But I know that God is going to do it. So I just want to this opportunity to advise people, and I pray you will listen, you know, and you know, so people feel my pain. You know, if you have any question, I don't mind, I'll be here. Thank you.